The reckoning has come. As a result of my 50th year, I was considering getting rid of any projects that sat around in my mind month after month, year after year, decade after decade in some cases, with no sign of actually being done. I guess it was a combination of not wanting to let go of something that I thought might have value, but it was also preventing me from going into new projects done with the advantage of a 50-year perspective. So in that spirit, I'm going to tell you the idea, the plot, and why I was going to write my novel and get this free once and for all. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The book was called The Dream Machine. I started writing it when I was about 25. So 1995, I had an idea for a book. Here was the fundamental idea, the plot, everything you would need to write it yourself. It was going to be written in present tense, which is very jarring to read, but it was going towards a point. It would start with the character, somewhat hard to understand, driving a truck with the intention of committing suicide, but they step into a pizza parlor looking for directions to a quarry, and they end up seeing an asteroids machine in the corner. They take out a bunch of money and, over the protests of the pizza shop owner, load the asteroids machine into a truck and drive away from it. The book itself would be, again, written from the point of view of the main character, Darren, and he was rebuilding this asteroids machine from the ground up. He was going to redo every part of it. He was on a quest. He had an asteroids machine as the one thing that was positive from when he was younger. And as time would go on in the book, we would realize how much mental trouble he was in. In the first chapter, he is basically buying his way into an art school. He wants to learn how to recreate asteroids art, so he finds a school, which I based off the Butera School of Art in Boston, and he has bought a membership, even though it is not the time of year for it, and he is beginning to attend classes. He has an apartment that is mostly empty, except for the asteroids machine. From there, the character would be interacting with a set of students, each of them with different characters. There was a slight hint of romance with one of them, and conflict and drama with others having pieces missing from their lives. Several times in the book, he would have breakdowns, where he would see something on the television, or he would hear somebody say something, and he would start to become incoherent again and disappear. Somewhere in the middle of the book, I wanted a drunk character to throw some sort of full bottle of liquor at the asteroids machine, the center of Darren's life, and we would discover in the next chapter that the machine, even at this point, was waterproof. It was actually waterproof, bulletproof, and could sustain all sorts of attacks and damage and still keep working. The idea being that Darren was taking all of his funds, where it would be revealed he was a multimillionaire, and he was pumping them all into making this machine so over-engineered it could withstand an incredible amount of abuse, and he was basically deriving value and character from this machine persisting beyond his own life. Somewhere in there, I wanted to go very deeply into the asteroid's code. I wanted to describe in great detail the circuitry and programming design of asteroids. In other words, I wanted, by the time you got to the end of this book, to understand assembly language, to understand how Asteroids was designed and very specific details about its compositional makeup and how you too could build a bulletproof, airtight Asteroids machine. The final act involved Darren having another final breakdown, and there he would explain why he was going in this direction and why he was so extreme. The idea was that when Darren was a teenager, he was recruited by a video game company, and since he had grown up playing Asteroids and many other video games, he was, of course, completely drawn into the idea, and he started doing work for them. And he had designed a game, which I had called Neener Neener, which was kind of like Battlezone, which featured small and large characters coming at you like Battlezone in a first-person way that you were destroying. And as Darren would reveal, the company ended up not making the video game, and yet he had remembered the story of Todd Fry, creator of the Pac-Man cartridge for Atari 2600, who had demanded a part of the profits because he knew the company was mistreating him and making him produce Pac-Man under such conditions. So Darren had asked for a piece of the profits, and within a very short time found himself a millionaire. He hadn't given much thought to it. He had emancipated from his parents, and at some point he discovered exactly why he was making so much money. The video game company had sold its technology to a military firm, and the military firm had created an automatic firing weapon that could be dropped in battlefields and would use Darren's code to see and sense basic shapes that it would fire at. The idea being that it could recognize between a soldier or a rock and act accordingly. But as Darren started to think about it, he would realize that the design of the game, the code of it, which he had spent so much time working on and which he himself knew intimately, he knew that the design of the game meant that it would target children, that it would, in any given battle situation, not move towards soldiers, but would in fact try to assassinate children first, preserving its ammo to wait for children to show up. So he has been playing that nightmare scenario in his mind while being worth something on the range of $2.8 million. And so in a desperation move, he had thought about ending his life, but he ended up falling 100% in with the idea of his video game. This touches on a whole bunch of themes. What you're hearing here is a skeleton outline. My friend Chris Orcutt has been an inspiration to me over how to write a novel and how to approach it. What he does is he writes out a draft, start to finish, every day, works on the text. Doesn't matter if it's fantastic, doesn't spend too much time trying to refine it right there. Just gets the text down. At some point, you have a draft. You then put that draft away, come back after a few weeks or a few months, read it anew, see where the flaws are, use better words, come up with better themes, cut out the fat, make it into the polished piece that doesn't waste the reader's time, and then you'll have something worth reading. I like to think that if I didn't have so many other creative outlets, if I didn't have so many more opportunities to do things, that I probably would have written this book eventually. But at some point, you have to say, I'm a 50-year-old person writing about something I experienced when I was in my teens and from the point of view of a teenager that I haven't been in 40 years. What's that exactly going to be? So I'm calling it. That book idea was fun to think of, to mull around in my mind, and months and years would go by and I would think about writing it. But it's time to move on. If I really think that I need to write a novel for some sort of self-worth or some sort of proof that I'm capable of it, I'll come up with something new, something that reflects who I am now and the ideas and thoughts that I want to put together. Maybe it would be about something like emulation or assembly language or computers. But I think I'll let it happen now, organically. I've gotten so much done in my life. I've been able to achieve so many of my dreams. And so it doesn't bother me to take this idea, this germ of an idea, frankly, and set it aside, call it a day, and move on. What it does instead is free up those parts of my mind for new ideas, for new possibilities, for plans and projects and goals. And while it's a little weird to think that I'm not going to have that sitting and bouncing in my head anymore, I hope that the idea behind the Dream Machine inspires you to do something with your own old ideas, to clean them out, to move on to plans and goals you have now. So don't think of it like I failed at a project, because I certainly don't. Think of it that I pushed away a spare room with a few broken parts and a few sketched out ideas, and I'm going to put something there that I hope will be twice as great. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Forrest Fuqua, James Bakoyanu, Scott McGrady, Mark Pilgrim, Wayne Arthurton, Scott Roseanne, and Joshua Stein, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. I actually hesitated telling this story. There was one small part of me that was convinced maybe, just maybe, this is the year. But it's not. I got so much else to do. So much of my life is full right now. My walks are so invigorating. My exercise regimen making me feel the best I have in decades. And we finally figured out where in my medication I was feeling a bit off. So the sky's the limit. Why hold back? The person who came up with that interesting weird idea back in his 20s, he got a lot done. He made a few movies. He got to visit and go all around the world. He'll be fine. You can take the bench on this one, 20-something Jason. It's gonna be okay. 50-something Jason is gonna really impress you.